Good morning. Thank you, Jeffrey. I think that was your maiden voyage as soloist here, although you have sung in choirs and et cetera. That was lovely. Thank you very much. Yes, my name is Sharon Dwyer, and I am a licensed Unity teacher here, and every now and then I give the talk, and I really do prepare, but I never write it all out, and so I always wonder what's going to come out of my mouth. And it's just another one of those days where I'm wondering. But compassion, the reason the title is expanding compassion and not just being the pinnacle of compassion is because it's a work in progress, right? I would never want to have to stand up here and tell you that I know something about compassion that you don't, because a lot of you know me. And I was saying that to some people before the service, but I won't use some of the language I use then, but they go, what? Her? She's going to talk about compassion? Because as my friend Jay has said, yep, you're a fighter. And anyway, so not that I don't care, but my demonstration is not always one people wouldn't go, oh, Sharon, she's just the sweetest thing, you know. Wouldn't say that about me. So, and I know that. So that's why expanding compassion I take as a spiritual practice and even as a challenge, you know, that I can build on starting right now. And compassion, also known as love, is really the core of every religion. Even though some people think that jihad is the core of the Islamic religion, that's not true. There is much about love and compassion. And this is true definitely in Buddhism, because it's one of the most important tenets in Buddhism. But Hinduism, all Judaism, much in the Kabbalah, the mystical path of Judaism, about expanding compassion. And that, what was Jesus's number one message? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Compassion. So why do we have all these wars and all this crazy fighting? If that's our primary message. And not that I expect you to answer that, not that I really have an answer in a nutshell either. But we know that this exists on this physical realm, this earthly plane. We see and experience much that doesn't look like compassion. And if we want to get really, really simple, we can say, well, okay, there's love and there's fear. And when we're remembering that we have the love of God within us and that we have the power of compassion, then we are experiencing love. And when we forget it and we think there isn't enough, someone else is going to get what I deserve, someone else isn't as good as me, I want to feel better than them, whatever, we're experiencing fear. And fear makes us contract, and love makes us expand. And you can feel the difference. Go ahead, right now, feel the difference. Just contract. Come on, I want to see it. No, you don't want to? Okay, that's fine. I wouldn't want to force anybody. But that's how we feel and are when we're afraid, even if we don't know we're afraid. You know, if I'm in judgment of something or someone, then I'm more like that. And then, oh, just bump into your neighbor with love. Expand. Just do a little yoga. Okay. And that's how we feel when we're at ease. You know, dis-ease is more like this, and being at ease is more like that. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference. And when I'm feeling that dis-ease, I'm going to act differently towards others, too, because I'm going to think that maybe they're against me. Maybe they disagree with me, and that might be really be true. And I might feel some dis-ease because of that. I realize that personally, in my journey of compassion, I have not come yet to a place where I can really disagree and be comfortable and loving. And I'm thinking in terms of things like politics right now. You know, I mean, I might disagree that on something small and be fine and gracious, but on things that I hold deeply as being right, then when I disagree, I don't feel compassion. I feel that sense of being right and that utter disbelief that anybody else could feel see it differently, you know. And I could go into this a lot more, but I won't because, I know it's not really appropriate for a Unity talk, you know. So, but on Facebook, yeah, I go into it a lot. Okay. So that is something that is where I know that I have a lot to learn about compassion, because if I were really in a place where I experienced that love more readily, then maybe I would be able to listen or see on TV, you know, a person that I think stands for something very different than I do, and still be okay about it, still be accepting, still feel a sense of love. Personally, I'm not there yet. I have a friend who told me she's there, but I don't know. Anyway, well, at least she was one day, you know. That's what she told me. She told me she saw Sarah Palin on TV and felt love. Okay, anyway, and I couldn't believe it. I was shocked, and I'm really sorry if I offended anybody, and you love her, because that's good. She needs it, but my friend told me that, and I was shocked, because I'm not there yet, you know. I'm not. All right. But that's why it's a spiritual practice, okay? Because we practice by doing things every day or as often as we can remember that will lead us to a place of higher consciousness, which is part of what is compassion. In addition to all the major religions talking about love and compassion and we're brothers and sisters, in recent times, there's been research done that indicates the practical value of compassion. And one researcher, George Valent, he's done a lot of different important studies. I know he did one on alcoholism, but he also did a study at Harvard over a period of years on happiness and compassion and you know, just showing that our lives are so much more, they work so much better when we allow ourselves to feel happiness and compassion and caring for others. And our brains are different when we are allowing ourselves to feel those things. And there have been studies that showed, a study in Hawaii that showed that people who were in the hospital, maybe having surgery, when others were instructed to hold thoughts of love and compassion for these specific people, and their brain waves were checked. I mean, I'm not very scientific, obviously, okay? But it indicated that there was a difference, whether the person knew it or not, that someone else, and this is one of those studies where you could call it praying, or you can call it sending love, whatever, but it made a difference to that in that person's brain response. So there are many ways in which showing compassion helps us. And then there is the HeartMath Institute. This book, The HeartMath Solution. This is a group of people who do scientific, basically, procedures and tests about expanding compassion, about putting our energy into our heart, about thinking of the heart as the seat of our as our executive director instead of the brain. Not that we don't use the brain. We need to use that too. But that by doing that, it's been proven that you can do such things as lower stress hormones, raise DHEA, anti-aging hormone levels. Wow, I'm going to start doing it every night now. Really. Okay. You know, just a whole lot of things like improving heart rate and clarity. That's the Institute for Heart Math, Heart Math Solution. And they practice. And I've been in a workshop over it, but I don't really know very much. But, you know, focusing on the heart. Focusing on the heart. Which is sort of like Emmett Fox in his classic booklet, The Golden Key, when he talks about if you have a problem and you're focusing on the problem, well, yeah, you're just increasing it, right? You're just expanding it. You're just worrying. But when you have a problem, and he says, put your focus on God. However that works for each of us. I had a hard time with that, just God. Think about God. Well, I don't know how to do that until I thought of the aspects of God, the qualities of God. So put my attention on love, gratitude, forgiveness, all the things that actually we've been hearing about in this Lenten series of Sunday talks. Those are all practices that put our attention on aspects of God and that take our focus off the problem and onto a place where the solution is held, or a solution, or at least something better is held in a focus of attention on gratitude or forgiveness, compassion, instead of on the problem itself. You know? And Einstein said, you know, you can't solve a problem by coming at it at the same level of the problem. Now, I don't know if he really said that or not, because, again, I'm a big fan of Facebook, and they just say he said all kinds of stuff on Facebook, and I don't know which ones he really said, but that is attributed to him, you know. But the one I like is the one that says, don't believe every quote that you see on Facebook, and it's signed Abraham Lincoln, you know, that's... That's one I like a lot, okay? But anyway, it is said that Einstein said you cannot solve a problem at the level at which it was created. So that's another way of Emmett Fox saying, take your attention off the problem. Put your attention on God or an aspect of God. Or in heart math, it would be take your attention off the problem, or take your attention off the brain and the little gerbil that's running around in the cage up there, and put your attention on your heart. You know, and soften. And that's why I was doing the contract, expand. When our attention is on our heart, we soften. And when our attention is on fear, then we contract. And our heart is not softened. We are afraid that someone else is going to do something that won't be right for us. You know. So... much research in the area of compassion, of heart feelings, and the benefits of putting our focus there, and much in Buddhism, definitely in Christianity too. The parable of the Good Samaritan it shows us that you know, Jesus said, that his most important teaching was love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love your neighbor as yourself. The Good Samaritan, supposedly being a lowlife in the culture of the time, less worthy, less than others, going along the road, someone was hurt and needed help, and the other people, the Levite, you know, the priest, the lawyer, the whatever, sorry, lawyer, I know, lawyer jokes are bad. Anyway, those people who had means and income and everything else to help someone just went on by, and the Samaritan, who was considered less than, stopped and helped. Okay, so, you know, when it's done unto the least of us, it's done unto all of us. So this was a person who was demonstrating Jesus' teaching and was an example of the idea of Christianity valuing compassion as well as the other religions valuing compassion. Buddhism has much, much, much about compassion. And there are many, many teachers in our contemporary world who teach about compassion. One of my very favorite ones is Pema Chodron. And I have some of her books in the bookstore, which you are welcome to run down after the service and buy all of them. Okay? I have a couple of them right here. And this one's called Start Where You Are, A Guide to Compassionate Living. But her others have titles like When Things Fall Apart. You know, I love her because she is a spiritual teacher who talks about the experience of being human. Because no matter what you may believe, there are times when it feels like in the human experience things are falling apart. Maybe not for you, but for many people. You know, it feels like that. And that's when we most need to be reminded that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And this is one teacher who does that very, very well. Pema Chodron, A Guide to Compassionate Living. And she talks in Western American, relatively easy to understand terms about developing a practice of compassion, which is called Tonglen, but you know, we don't even have to know those words and names in order to do it. We can just do it in our own terms and our own language. But we widen the circle of compassion. You know, it might be easy to think of your child and think of compassion, love. It might be easy. For me, it's easy to think of my pets because I love them more than I do humans. And so I can think of them, and I think I just naturally feel compassion, you know. But we widen the circle of our compassion. So one of the forms of prayer, which we can practice here today, metta, is to start with our attention on the heart and start with someone that it's very easy to love and feel that sense of warmth and expansion and compassion, and then move in out into our community a little more, to our family, into our church, into our town, and expand it more and more until we are able to practice that same feeling of love that we had for the little baby or the puppy or whoever into for everyone. That would be a very advanced form. But that's the practice, is expanding, widening the circle of compassion. And not just in feeling, but also in doing. Although it's good to remember that it's really about being, not just doing. But we also go out into the world and we take action too. Compassionate action. But that involves, it starts with ourselves. Because if we don't feel good about ourselves, we aren't really going to be good to other people. We might pretend, we might act like it. We might, you know, well, she did this, bless her heart. You know, you've heard those comparisons. But we're not really feeling good about the other person if we don't feel compassion for ourselves. That's where it starts. And that's when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love yourself first. If we don't, then we're still going to be afraid that the neighbor's going to get something we want. And we might act as if we're friendly or kind, but we don't have a deep-rooted compassion if we're afraid that somebody's going to get something that we want. So we have to practice with ourselves and then widen the circle of compassion. We can't shut down on ourselves. And that's what we do a lot without knowing it, without even realizing it. When we come up against something that makes us uncomfortable, when someone presses our button, bzzz, I know exactly what that feels like. Shut down. Back off. Because we're afraid. Well, we cannot experience compassion when we do that. I think, and Jay, you know, he puts these little videos on Facebook. all the time, or once a week or so, for his clients, as he is a life coach. And I appreciate them a lot. And this week, I think he was talking about something related to this. If not, I was hallucinating and reading it, you know. But in my sense, it was like, when someone tells us we might have done something better, or when someone criticizes us, whatever, however our experience of it is, the first reaction is to shut down, to shut off, you know, to deny, and then to be angry. And I know that's historically my first reaction. As we progress in expanding compassion, we're able to do it differently, because we can, if we're not afraid in ourselves and for ourselves, then we can hear what the person is saying and take what we can use and leave the rest. Respond rather than react, okay? Not just shut down out of fear. So that is part of expanding the circle of compassion, is being able to be present for ourselves when things happen, when things fall apart, or when someone criticizes us or points out something, whether it's true or not, right or wrong. Shutting down just stops the communication and stops the learning. And I've noticed that I will remember things from the past that at the time I thought were just fine that I did or said, and it will come up to me in my mind, and I'll go, oh, that wasn't right. You know, I have a recognition that I said or behaved in a way that I now think was not my best. Many recognitions. And then my natural tendency when I do that is to feel bad about myself, which is a way of shutting down. I go, oh my God, how could I have done that? So I have to practice recognizing that, which is growth, without shutting down on myself, without shooting on myself, without judging, but say, okay, I see that now. I can see that now. And I can pray for the other person without talking to them. I don't have to see them. I mean, I could. I might. I might need to go see them. I might need to go make amends. But I don't have to do that to deal with the situation with myself. I can just bless them and bless myself as I was in that situation when I made the best choice that I could at the time, however unskilled it may have been. I can bless myself, my image of myself. I can bless that person. I can bless that situation. And I can affirm that I learned from that, and I go on. And so that's a way of widening my circle of compassion for myself as well, rather than just shutting down or feeling mad or, which is my old way, because we don't want to look at it when we get that zinger, even if it comes from our own mind. So we can practice new ways that bring us to a greater sense of compassion for ourselves and others. Okay. And these ways have to be gentle. They have to be gentle, or else we won't do them, and they won't be helpful for others as well. Meditation is one way that we do this. We do this in unity, do it in Buddhism, many, many traditions of being gentle and paying attention to the breath or mantra, but paying attention to what is happening now, but being gentle in the sense that we also don't judge ourselves when we find that we're thinking that gerbil's back on that little in our brain. But we don't judge ourselves. We just come back to the breath, come back to the mantra, come back to the affirmation, whatever we have set an intention to focus on. Come back to it. And this is a practice. This is a spiritual practice that can transform our lives and the way we look at things and the way we think and feel. We can come back to our heart as well when we find that we are off someplace else. And when we do recognize that we are thinking about something else, or making a list, whatever, when our intention was to be in meditation and to sit and be still, then we can say, remind ourselves, I'm thinking, thoughts. But not, that's so bad of me that I'm doing that. I'm not doing this right. I'm going to quit because I can't do it right. A lot of us do that. I'll try it again next week, next month, next year. I'm not doing this right. So we have to lighten up on ourselves. Now, one time a good friend told me to lighten up, and I started crying. And the reason I did was because I didn't know how to lighten up at that time in my life. I didn't know what that meant, and I started crying. I did, but I kind of know what it means more now, so I'm really grateful. So lighten up, things don't have to be so heavy and so serious. And I probably also was crying because I thought it was, all about me. So that's another one. Hard to lighten up when you think it's all about you. So lighten up means be gentle. Pay attention to the breath. Just go, thinking. Okay, I'm thinking. Now I come back to my intention. Another thing about not taking ourselves so seriously, not thinking it's all about us, not thinking that everything is such a big deal, is, according to Pema Chodron, regard everything as a dream. Okay? To connect with an open, as she says, an open, spacious quality of your mind, so that you can see that there's no need to shut down and make such a big deal about everything. It's not a big deal. When we have a dream and we remember it later, at least for me and for many of us, there's really not a significant difference between that memory of my dream and a memory of what happened. It might be for some of you, I don't know, but it's kind of pretty much the same to me. It's just a memory. And if I can learn not to shut down in fear and contraction and think of that memory as such a big deal, whether it was in a dream or in a waking physical, what we call reality, then I'm more able to connect with something within myself, which in unity we call the Christ within. We might call it our Buddha nature. We might call it that open, spacious quality of mind that Pema Chodron referred to it as. And we can connect with that, and that's where compassion begins for ourselves and for other people. And Buddha was not someone, just a person who was born over 2,000 years ago and is smarter than you'll ever be, according to Pema. Buddha is your nature, our inherent nature. And that is the same with Christ. Jesus the Christ means the anointed one, the enlightened one. And both the Buddha and Christ nature is what we're talking about within each of us that we carry with us. And if we recognize that, that's why we can have compassion, because if I carry it within me, then so do you. And as well, in my human experience, if I feel sadness, so does that other person. If I feel hurt, so does that other person. No matter who they are, what they're doing, they also have those human feelings that of less than, and that nature of the greatness and allness of God, the Christ, the Buddha. That's why we are actually brothers and sisters in spirit, even though we think we're separate in separate bodies. So if we're going to become spiritually mature, then we need to begin to connect with our inner intelligence, the Christ within, the Buddha within, which we already have, and be more awake in our present moments. Maybe everything is a dream, but we can be awake in that moment and be more aware of our own connection, inner connection, and that each other person is also connected to his or her own inner knowing, inner wisdom. And that's what unity is about. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life and in your life. God, the source of all good. And that's why I didn't want to skip that when we were in the beginning of our service, because that is actually our core teaching in unity. And our co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore, talked about compassion. She's probably the symbol of compassion for unity. You know, her husband, Charles, was the head and she was the heart. And she's talked about helping others. And she said, instead of thinking of the people whom you have believed to be evil and an undesirable influence, think of the goodness of God in the life of all his children. Think of God as everywhere present, light, love, peace, power, and life. Think of all men, all women, all children as abiding in God's presence and expressing God's qualities. As you do this, you will touch the reality of individuals, the inner reality, and you will invite only the best from them. Spirit will respond as you expect it to, for the Spirit of God is in every person. Some persons have not yet awakened to this realization, but as you declare the truth for them and expect it to express through them toward you, you will receive only loving and considerate treatment from them. As you read these explanations of the way in which a soul may lay hold of its inheritance from God and exercise its God-given freedom in the endeavor to develop and use its powers, pray for more light to enable you to see how precious these individuals are and how important it is that we all have freedom to correct our mistakes. So we see that we all have those human feelings and we do the things that appear to be less than, but we all have that inner light, love, peace, power, and light. And we all have the freedom to correct our mistakes. And this kind of awareness leads us to an expanding compassion. Namaste.